If you're heavyweight champion, you die trying.
Tony lives to knock out Patterson in one round.
He was always involved in a criminal culture, whether by choice or necessity.
There were a lot of people who had an invested interest in shutting Sonny up. So many people wanted Sonny dead. Question is, who got to him first?
Welcome back. Episode 4, coming to you from New York City.
And why?
With a special guest, man. It's an honor, man. We came from the same Northern California territory. First ballot Hall of Famer, Yankee legend, CC Sabathia, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate
it. And welcome to retirement, my brother.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Good to see y'all.
Yes, Jack, sir.
You ready? We about to start the show.
Okay. No, I'm good.
Dry your hands off.
I'm good. Two shows in a row. You way more moist than me the last two shows.
No, that's me.
Did you find? Nah, he his hands feel like.
Two shows, I was real moist.
His hands feel like.
Yeah, I had a nice lather with baby lotion. Like and
he feel like
he didn't get it.
Like he had peed on the shit and shook my hand. Like, dude, what the fuck is going on?
Dry your hands off.
I dropped my hand off and leave a wet mark on my shit.
High school basketball games, I used to be so nervous that I would have to like put lotion on and everything. Then I had to go wash my hands so it wouldn't be like sweaty.
Super dry, overboard.
Yeah.
You never know who showed up on the set.
You never know.
You never know. Yeah, come on, man. You're right. Always ready. You ain't got to get ready. So take me back, man. Obviously, Hall of Fame career, but your emotional exit in the playoffs. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it was crazy because I had been feeling good. Like, they put me in the bullpen for the playoffs. I didn't make the roster the first round because I had my shoulder was messed up. So I got a cortisone shot, been feeling pretty good. And I came out of the bullpen in Houston and got the out. I was, you know, I was feeling myself, walking off, talking shit. I was feeling good.
Right.
And I started thinking, like, man, I might be able to come back, like unretire. You know what I'm saying? Like, come out of the bullpen, get a couple outs. I might be able to do this. And got out there in that game in Yankee Stadium. I think it was game 4. And I was feeling good up until that one pitch. You know, I let that pitch go. And I could tell my arm, it kind of popped out of socket. Not kind of, it popped out of socket. Mm. And ripped the capsule, tore my labrum, cuff, everything. And walking off, I heard like the ovation of the fans, knew it was gonna be my last time in front of the fans, and kind of got a little emotional.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man, it's expected.
So your arm just detached, you was real calm.
It subluxed.
You was too calm though.
Man, I was hoping that it wasn't it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the catcher ran out, he's trying to console me. The trainer kind of popped it back in. And I went back, I told the catcher to run back down there, so let me try to throw one. And when I threw that one, it did it again. Like, I can't even describe the feeling. It was some of the worst pain. Like, everybody, I was walking off the field limping, and everybody was like, we thought it was your knee. I was like, nah, my shoulder was hurting that bad. But, that was the best way for me to go out.
Yeah, on the field.
Yeah, for sure.
We spoke before we got on camera. You were disappointed you only have one ring.
Yeah.
Tell me, you felt you should have won. How many?
Yeah, I mean, 19 years, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
One ring. I mean, you know, not to discredit winning the championship. It's hard to do,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But playing here for this long, I mean, the goal, you know, in New York is to win championship every year.
It's like the Lakers, championship
so,
or bust.
You know, winning one out of 11, that's a failure, you know? But I'll take that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
What are you looking forward to next? I mean, you're done. We everything comes to an end. I found myself really enjoying just being able to get back and sleep in and not be so, but then that gets old quick.
Yeah.
Like, what is?
Just kind of being around the family. I did 3 days of like sleeping in and not doing shit. Like
that gets old quick.
I was like, yo, I'm going to be a bum.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I called my agent. I was like, yo, get me back on ESPN. Like, let's start getting back into like normal life, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just looking forward to being a normal citizen. Like having a summer off, I hadn't had a summer off since 97. So just traveling with the family, kind of hanging out, kicking it and just enjoying my family.
Let's go back a little bit. Like I said, you were someone, I heard about early on, you know, you were Vallejo, I was in Sacramento. So
we were the same year, 98, right?
Yeah, about an hour and a half from each other. So I would definitely hear about you a lot in all three sports you played and I did the same. Take me back to kind of growing up and your path in sports.
Yeah, so I grew up in Vallejo, California, and it's a big sports town.
The Valley Joe.
It's little. It's a small ass city, man. It's crazy. most popular, known for, you know, E-40, Mac Dre. I grew up on the side of town where Mac Dre is from, actually in the same neighborhood. And it's, you know, I had a cousin that played in the NFL, played for the Raiders, he went to the University of Nevada. So it's just kind of one of those small towns that kind of like breeds athletes. There's a lot of athletes that come out of there that you don't really hear about. Mm-hmm. You know, different shit happens, whatever, but, you know, super talented guy. So just growing up in that environment, wanting to be one of these guys that I saw, you know, I can name these guys, Major Norton, Jason Shelley, you know, Marcel Longmire, just guys that, you know, that were around my neighborhood that you know, played in college that, you know, necessarily didn't make it.
But could have.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to be around those guys that played in park, stayed with those guys, you know, playing three sports. You know, just kind of fell my way into baseball. Like, you know, you're talking about the boys with the mm-hmm. high basketball IQ. I always had a high baseball IQ, just mm-hmm. knew what bases to throw to, knew how to run the bases, knew, you know, kind of different shit about the game. And it just became easy and natural. So I just kind of fell into it.
Outside of baseball, I mean, people probably don't, you played, like you said, every sport. What was your sport? Football? Would you football or basketball?
Football was probably my sport. Basketball was fun. I mean, mm-hmm. But I had to work at that shit so hard, man. Like, you know, I couldn't jump. Like, you know, like I was.
I couldn't jump.
Play below the rim.
Me too.
It was all. So I had the most fun playing basketball because I had to work at it and, you know, kind of work to be good and start and all that stuff. But baseball was naturally fun and just football was, you know, was easy for me.
Mm-hmm. So. 18 or 19, when did you get drafted? How old were you when you got drafted by the Indians?
17. Yeah, and I remember that because I remember you going to UCLA. Yeah. And I had thought about going there to play football. Yeah. And I remember you going at the same time.
Yeah. What position were you?
In football?
Yeah.
Tight end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been an offensive lineman, though. Like, they would have got me to college. And I would have been 320 playing offensive tackle.
So tell me what it's like 17 years old with $1 million in your pocket from Vallejo. That shit don't happen out there?
Nah, that shit was... It was bad. It wasn't good the first couple of years, man. I didn't have no work ethic. I didn't know what it was to be a pro. I mean, obviously, I knew how to show up and do my job when I was there. Mm-hmm. But you put me back in Vallejo with $1 million at 17, 18 years old.
Homies,
I'm not working out. Like, the first offseason, I didn't do shit. Like, didn't pick up a ball until I got back to spring training. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting hurt, elbow hurt, you know, spent the year on the DL. So that kind of, like, delayed my – I would have probably been in the big leagues when I was 19 – as opposed to 20 if I would have worked out mm-hmm. and, like, actually cared about my career. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was just a learning experience, man. You know, growing up without nothing and then all of a sudden you just give me $1 million in free time. I mean, I'm going to end up 290 pounds.
all that good eating, good living.
Good eating, good liquor, hanging out.
Yeah.
When did you, because people don't understand, they think, you're drafted and everything is part. When do you feel like you kind of got a grasp of what was going on and you started realizing how important the process of being a pro in the off season was important?
Man, not until after my rookie year, not until after I made it to the big leagues and I like was around Robbie Alomar, Ellis Burks and all these guys and kind of seeing how they worked in the off season. Like, you know, coming from high school, you know, we just show up, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, you just do what you do, and that is, you know, it is what it is. But I didn't know all the work that it took to get into, you know, to make all-star teams, to be a Hall of Famer, to do mm-hmm. some of the things that I wanted to do in the game. You know, I figured I don't have to work for it. And, you know, after that first offseason, I had a really good year my first year. I won 17 games, won a playoff game, and then I came back the next year, and they gave me a deal. Like, when they gave me that deal, it made me realize, like, oh, okay, like, this is, like, I need to step my shit up and, you know, kind of live up to what they expect me to be.
We gotta get you going. We gotta get your clock firing. You had an amazing span. You know, obviously starting in Cleveland, but there was a time where you went from Cy Young in 07 to traded to make a run with Milwaukee to signing a great deal with the Yankees and winning the ring. Tell me what that span, that was a fast-ass span.
That like you just said, that shit seems like all 1 year.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I won the Cy Young in 07, and I'm thinking like, oh, I got it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got this shit figured out. Like, now I'm about to start rolling. Came back in 08, and I was the worst pitcher in the league. And couldn't get an out, you know what I'm saying? By June, had a good game against the Yankees, had a couple good starts after that, and they traded me. When I got traded, I went from last place to first place, or, you know, in mm-hmm. the hunt. So I'm like, you know, I got to step up, you know what I'm saying? So that's when I went on that good run in Milwaukee, ended up getting a deal, and then 09 kind of taking care of business and winning the World Series. But like that whole 3-year span kind of feels like 1 year for me. Like it's weird, like just like maturing and kind of like coming into my own, winning the Cy Young in 17 and 07, and then, you know, winning the World Series.
Being on that on a winning team helped too.
No doubt.
Yeah.
The environment.
07, you know, we had a chance to win. We were a winning team in Cleveland, and I felt like I was the reason why we didn't win the World Series. Like, I was trying to go out and do too much and go out and have these great games and be the storyline and the reason why we won, and I was ended up being the reason why we lost, you know what I'm saying? And that was kind of a learning lesson, you know? Like, that was the best year I had in my career, and ended up fucking it up in the playoffs because I wanted to be the guy. Come back in 09, I come here, and I'm supposed to be the guy that gave me the contract, but right. I'm looking around, I got Jeter, I got A-Rod, I got Cano, I got Tex. I'm like, all I got to do is my little part,
right,
and we're going to win. You know what I'm saying? So it was easy for me to, like, make it – it was easy for me to simplify it once I got on a better team.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, play your role. Yeah.
I mean, you've spoke on it several times in just this brief stint. How mental – being a pitcher is a lonely position. You know what I mean?
Golf.
So how much are you in your head and telling yourself this and that, and how do you kind of balance yourself?
It's all mental. It's all talking to yourself.
Right, all right.
Everything is talking to yourself while you're out there. It's only you out there, standing out there, 50,000 people. You're out there by yourself. So everything about it is mental, but it's just on to the next. No matter what happened, no matter what the result, home run – umpire didn't call it a strike, whatever, it's just the next pitch. So it's just about making sure I'm staying in my mechanics, making sure that I execute the next pitch. That's really all, that's all it's about.
I don't see how y'all do it, because the only thing I'll be thinking about is that ball coming back at me. Like, it's in these too. Man,
you might need to work.
Now, you know,
too much for him.
The only time I think about getting hit with a line drive is when I'm not pitching. Like, if I'm, you know, sitting in my thoughts or, you know, laying down or whatever, I'm like, man, like, what if I get hit with a line drive? Never think about that shit when you're out there, but like, it gives you, you know, chills, and you think about it when you're off the field. It's weird.
I can imagine you getting hit with a line drive. You ever play baseball at all?
Yeah, but that's why I didn't play, because I was scared of the ball.
You played?
Yeah, they making the ball come at you full speed and drop all that shit y'all be doing. I ain't got time for that. Put me on the court where I can dribble and take my time with it.
Did you play football too?
I was a receiver and a safety. That was nice. I was nice, was super nice. But when I got to high school, my mom and coach pulled me off the football field. You're going to the league.
It was Texas,
son.
But you played.
You might not know it, but you're going to the league. Yeah, and it was serious out there. Football was serious.
You had to make a decision.
I was nice, but they knew I didn't know I was going to the NBA then. They saw it. I didn't, you know. I was still doing all kind of shit. Football. I was playing football in the park. Throw up tuck. You want to throw up tackle? I'm doing all that while I'm playing basketball. Right.
That was kind of like LeBron. I felt like LeBron didn't know he was going to the league. Like, what the fuck you playing football in the 10th and 11th grade? He was good, too.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what is y'all doing?
Yep.
Like, this motherfucker about to be the first pick, and y'all got him out here on the football court.
It was still normal.
Yeah. I mean, we touched on this a few episodes ago, and about how kids, and we all grew up playing everything possible, and being a kid and not lifting weights and eating right and having trainers at a young age. Like, we touched on this, and you know, you have a son in high school, and you told us offline that he was – you know, playing baseball and basketball and getting behind in this baseball, you know, getting behind in both because he kind of felt like other kids are playing either one of those year-round.
Yeah, it's like pressure to pick one sport.
Right.
Because the kids in your class are playing one sport, and they getting nice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you catch up to that sport, you're like, fuck, man, I'm behind, but because you don't realize you've been playing this other sport, and it's going to help you.
Right.
So it's been that struggle back and forth with him right now, trying to figure out what he wants to do. I honestly think this is going to be his last year playing hoop, which I would love to see him continue playing. 6'5", 16 years old. You never know.
Right.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? He can shoot a little bit. He's slow as fuck, but he can move. You know, he can move. He can dribble. But you never know. You know what I'm saying? What he can turn into. So
slow
we'll
kills.
Slow kills.
Who
you telling?
I got almost 13K in the league, baby. Slow kills. Slow kills, baby.
So who are some of the people you leaned on, your vets, who leaned on you feel like, whether it be a pitcher or another position, that really kind of got your mental and kind of vetted you?
Yeah, it's some Ellis Burks was one.
OG.
Yeah. Still, to this day, like, I can call Ellis right now, and he'll, you know. And Jeter. Jeter was a big one. Anytime I got something going on, if, you know, I feel something going on in the media, I need to say something to the team or something, I'll text Jeet first, like, yo, this is what I'm thinking, blah, blah, blah. And he'll give me like not an outline, but he'll be like, yo, maybe you should say this. Maybe you shouldn't say this to the media. Maybe you shouldn't go off on the umpire tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, different little shit, like, he'll give me he'll kind of try to help me, guide me. Sometimes it don't work, sometimes it do.
Right. I mean, what was it like playing with historical franchises, the Yankees, you know what I mean? And then playing with who you play with, you know, a Hall of Famer, some of the greatest players to ever do it, and doing it as a Yankee.
Man, it was crazy. I didn't realize what it meant to be a Yankee until I got here. Being around Yogi Berra, being around Ron Guidry, being around Whitey Ford, Andy Pettit, like, you want to be on those lists. You want to, you know, try to be a part of that history if you can. So winning a championship here, hopefully, you know, puts me in some of those categories. But, it's amazing to be able to say I played for the Yankees for 11 years, you know, one of the biggest sports franchises in the world. And win a championship here and play with, you know, Ichiro, A-Rod, Jeep, mm-hmm. Andy. I mean, so many Hall of Famers.
It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I look at some of the lineup cards like that I played with, and I'm like,
insane.
It's been a blessing, man. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, we can kind of compare it to, you know, in basketball, being a Laker. You know what I mean? No matter what, it's just, it's once you get there, until you get there, you don't understand it. And then all the media that comes with it. I mean, you're in the biggest media market in the world. You know, I played with the Lakers, second biggest media market. And you know, our off days, how big, you know, a couple sentences can get thrown out of proportion and you be the fucking bad guy.
You know, like, what's crazy is that we're the news.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you drive the news. The Lakers drive the news mm-hmm. in the NBA. The mm-hmm. Yankees drive the news. So you can't even turn on SportsCenter. Like, I was used to, like, in the clubhouse with the Indians, with the Brewers, we watch, you know, SportsCenter shit all day. With the Yankees, we never had that shit on because it's us.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's about us. So that was the biggest thing I realized when I got here, is that we drive the news. So you really can't watch none of that shit because half of it's wrong anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
How do you handle the outside distractions of what, you know, once you get to a certain level, all-star, millions of dollars, playing for the Yankees, all the noise off the field?
Yeah, that was hard. I mean, I struggled with that. I mean, I ended up in rehab. 2015, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I struggled the whole year, not drinking. I mean, obviously I struggled with rehab and, you know, everything my whole life. I mean, drinking my whole life, ended up in rehab in 15. But 15 just kind of like everything came to a head. I got into a big thing in Toronto where it was kind of like almost like a little riot, you know, coming out of a club. And I just felt like it was time, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a crazy time in my life. My kids were getting older. You know, they were able enough to, like, start reading on the internet some of the shit that was going on. And mm-hmm. I just felt like it was a good time for me to kind of, like, reset, hit the reset button and kind of start over. You know what I'm saying? And but at the same time, let everybody know I got this problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here. This is me. And it kind of, like, freed me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Since then, I've been mm-hmm. – it's weird, man. It's like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders, like – everybody knows you. I'm alcoholic. Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not hiding no more. I'm not trying to sneak a drink here and there. Like, I'm good.
How did balancing that problem, being a Yankee star and having a family, how did that affect your family?
I think that was the biggest part of me going to rehab, was how it started to affect my family. You know, my 16-year-old now, at the time, he was 11 when I went in. Yeah, I mean, you know, seeing dad coming home, you know, tipsy a couple nights after, you know, road trips or whatever, you know, just different mm-hmm. things that, you know, my 9-year-old now, he sees my wife drink a glass of wine and he's like, oh, you drinking again? Like, and he don't even correlate. He don't even know that, like, I'm the alcoholic. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, it's the funny joke in the house that, like, now mom gets ragged on for drinking, you know what I'm saying? And dad's alcoholic. But it's, it was one of the better decisions I ever made in my life. Going to rehab in 2015.
Did you hit a dark point during that rehab?
When I was in rehab was one of the best times, man. You don't have no phone. You kind of cut off. But you talk to the people who you need to talk to, your family, whoever, you know, whoever mm-hmm. is close to you. But you just kind of at peace trying to figure your shit out. You know what I'm saying? I always tell my wife, I'm like, man, I need to, like, another little stint. Like, let me just to get away from people. You know what I'm saying? Let me turn my phone off. Get away, like, let me go to rehab for a week or whatever just to get away. But nah, I mean, it was just, you know, you just at peace at that time, for sure.
It's always the people that you love most to get you to change for the better. It's always, you know what I mean? Regardless how you go through it, we all go through it at a certain point. But, you know, even like when Matt's mom died, you know what I'm saying? He's a different person since his mom died. You know what I'm saying? It was tough for him for a while, but the person he is now, I know she's looking down at him and proud of him. But I'm just saying that to say, the hardest parts of your life make you the best person.
Oh, there's no question, the struggle to get there. I mean, since we went back to 07 right there, Jack, 08, you were fucking with us during the We Believe run.
Oh,
our best time.
Run center every single game, man.
Every game. That's when I have the height of my season tickets.
He was flying back and forth, though, coming to the games. Yeah.
I was coming to playoff games and everything.
Yeah. Tell us what that meant to you, being someone from the Bay. Because this shit, I mean, we still get so much love out
there. I was just about to say, y'all still huge out there. Right. Like, y'all is a part of... Y'all always be a part of that fabric in the Bay just because of y'all started the Warriors. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, for us, that was the start of the Warriors franchise.
Yeah.
All that shit before that didn't matter. No. I mean, no disrespect to Run TMC. I love them dudes, but it started in 07 for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, y'all forever be Al too. You know what I'm saying? Like, and y'all was just so cool because everybody, y'all be out.
Yeah, that's
I mean, you was from there, obviously, but y'all be out in the club, dinner, whatever. Yeah. Like, I mean, y'all was really a part of it. So
everybody tell us that though, Mr. Fab, Be Legit. Everybody tell us that.
Y'all was really a part of it. Really a part of the hood.
The club. Untouchable. We was out in the hood.
We didn't call ourselves the
Fillmore Five.
Yeah, we the Fillmore Five.
But they don't know. We was playing for the war. But if you from the Bay and know about that area, we was on the corners smoking in Fillmore while we NBA players. That shit don't happen.
That shit never happens.
That shit does not.
But you can only do that in the Bay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you only get love. I feel like you only can get love like that.
Yeah.
Being who y'all was in
it
the Bay.
It was love because there's so much jealousy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they was really fucking with us out there. And that fan base has always been so amazing from, you know, whether the teams are winning or not. You still got amazing fans out there.
It's crazy. I was telling somebody was asking me, the tickets price has always been high. Like, they was, even back then, Courtside was like crazy. So they've always packed that place out, always supported. I wonder now, like, them going to Frisco, what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, have y'all been there?
I haven't been there, but like I said, this is the only team that show us love. Even though I didn't win the championship with them, they still show us a lot of support. But they got our pictures up in the new arena.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. That was love. I thought that was big, you know, to make us a part of the new arena.
I don't know. I think it's going to be different.
I think it's a different vibe now.
Yeah.
You know, to me now, it's more LA business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all the tech business. That's, you know, that's supposed to be
I think you took it from, like, the hood's backyard.
The culture.
Like,
it was the culture.
People were
smoking.
That was like our gym,
though.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit's right off the freeway.
Right.
Everybody can get there.
Yes.
And then you put it to, like, the billionaire's backyard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where it's, like, harder to get there. Like,
Gotta cross the fucking bridge.
All those people that's been working in Oracle, they gonna lose jobs. Well, some people got to go over there.
You know, I was happy to see a handful of people. I'm not sure how many, but I saw a picture with some of them over there. But to me, you've priced the common fan out.
Yeah.
You know, which is unfortunate. But you should think it used to be a vibe. And then the club down below, where my mom rest in peace, is back there taking shots. Pops is out on the balcony when people are smoking cigarettes. My dad's smoking joints. Some people are smoking weed in the arena. Like, that's what Oracle was.
That's what Oracle was. That's what the Bay is.
Right, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So tell me about your Raiders, man. I know you're a big Raider fan.
We 4-4.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah. What about the AB situation? I mean, I was really as a fan of football is my first love.
You're a Raider fan?
No, I'm a Niner fan.
I fuck with Chucky, though. I fuck with y'all coach, Gruden.
Nah.
I fuck with Chucky. You don't fuck with Chucky?
Mm-mm. Think about the moves he's made and what's going on from them moves. Well, I mean, what you think? I mean, I
like Josh Jacobs.
Hold on, you also
gave
do what you want.
Deal. Deal. Shit, they gave somebody a like him. Somebody like Chucky.
Man.
He got a 10-year deal.
I don't want to get, like, kicked out of my season ticket and shit, so I don't want to go too hard. But I like Josh Jacobs. Mm-hmm. I like Waller. I think we got some pieces to build going towards Vegas, but we might need a new quarterback. I knew AB was going to be a problem. When he was in Pittsburgh, obviously they got the organization to kind of contain that kind of personality.
Mm-hmm.
In Oakland, I knew we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I knew we just wanted the talent and not really control.
Came with it.
Yeah, I mean.
What did you, I mean, as a professional athlete from there, that's your favorite team, but as a professional athlete overall, what did you think about the way AB maneuvered in that? Because me and him kind of had different views on it.
As a fan of the team, I was happy because he was off the squad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I didn't care how he maneuvered out of it. As an athlete, I feel like I want guys to have more freedom. So the way guys are saying in the NBA, fuck it, trade me, or else I ain't playing, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, however you got to get out of the situation you don't want to be in, yeah, do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish I had the balls to do that shit in 2005 when I was in Cleveland. Fuck you, trade. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was trash and – it wasn't fun. It was just a bad situation. But I, you know, you just kind of, that's just not the era we were from. You know, mm-hmm. that's just, mm-mm. you know, basketball is different and sports different now. So, but I'm not mad at it. You know, it is what it is.
I love the fact that he was trying to speak and determine where he wanted to play, you know, and know his worth. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. But he was acting like a diva by the way he was going by doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then not only was he being a diva, now you got people that has nothing to do with him or his football success coming out with mess to try to just throw more stuff on
that's
him to try to destroy
like.
Him.
That's
you know
what
I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
And I felt like he gave them the ammunition to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if he was just worried about his career and handled it the right way without going into the media, probably was just sat down. It was just a conversation.
He might never be successful in Oakland because Carl wasn't going to never be able to give him the ball the way he wanted the ball. So he was going. It was going to be this by now. He would have been like off on Gruden.
So Carl's not that.
Question.
He wouldn't have been able to get Antonio Brown the ball the way he wanted the ball.
You got
to
think he played with Roethlisberger is one of the greatest.
Yeah, no question.
And then he went to Brady, and Brady could get him the ball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I don't feel like Carl would have took enough chances downfield. Almost like with Baker, what you seeing with Baker and Odell.
Odell, yeah.
The same. But AB ain't gonna be like. Mm-hmm. And he ain't gonna get on the podium and be like. That's my guy, but he gonna get up. What the fuck is y'all doing?
Right.
Give me a fucking ball open every time. You
business
know what
was booming last year.
That wasn't gonna happen. You right. know what I'm saying? Exactly. We was booming last year.
Business was booming last year.
So it was gonna come to that point, right. You know, eventually.
Yeah. See, I think him going with Brady, though, would have been a great move.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when you go into certain situations like the Spurs, like the Patriots, like the Yankees,
Moss.
Like the Lakers, like the Warriors, like you, no matter, I'm never a superstar, but no matter what your ego may have been, like you come into an organization and they expect excellence and you mature or you fit in.
Yeah.
You don't try to stand out. And mm-hmm. I think that would have been a perfect situation for him.
No, when you go into those locker rooms, no matter how much a leader you are, different you are, you look to kind of be led a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because you know that they do shit the right way. You know, right. You watch these franchises win championships. So certain locker rooms you walk into, you leave, you check your shit at the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even if you don't want to, you do.
You got to.
Because you want to fucking win.
Right.
And that's what we all want to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? It makes you check your shit when you go to these prestigious franchises, I guess.
For guys that want to win, though.
Yeah.
The guys that got
I think everybody want to win at the end of the, like, when you get there and you see what it is, you want to win.
I've been on teams with
where guys just
didn't give a fuck. First and 15th. What day is it? Shit, man. They didn't give a fuck, bro.
That's the worst. I can't
yes,
with nobody
man,
like that.
We had to at times.
I couldn't do that.
Yep.
Tell me what it was like. Now you're going from Major League Hall of Fame pitcher, playing with a little EBSPN, but you're talking football now. Tell me about that. How dope is that?
I thought I
that when I seen Aisha, I was like, yeah, because I wanted to do that when I first came out and I went through some shit and never got back on it, but you're out here talking football on a real level.
You know what's fun? I don't watch baseball. Like, I mean, I watch it when it's live and I'm there and I watch the Yankees, but I can't tell you shit about Garrett Cole, really. Like, I only watch when I'm, you know what I'm saying? But I can tell you about Pat Mahomes because I watch every one of his fucking games.
Yeah.
I can tell you about Teddy Bridgewater and whoever else because mm-hmm. I watch football and
Mark
I watch
Jackson.
Hoop. Like, mm-hmm. I really, really watch it. Like, game seven, I was going, like, the next morning I was going into ESPN to you know, do the analyst thing and they were going to ask me about the World Series, but it was the Warriors was playing. And that was the night Steph broke his hand, so, like, I was watching the game, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to see the updates and shit. Like, I mean, they were getting blown out by Phoenix that night, but it was game seven, and everybody's like, how are you not watching baseball? Fucking the Warriors playing right now. I'm watching this.
Come on, like, man, you know where I'm from. You talked about the Warriors. I mean, they had a hell of a run, a dynasty. They built a dynasty up in a five-year span, three championships, should have been four. Tell me what it was like to be a fan, first of all, for their success. They took a next step, you know, they took We Believe to another step. But tell me what that whole run was like to see it start, be in the middle of it, and then end the way it did, and then end with KD leaving, end with Steph breaking his hand. Like, tell me what it's been like.
It was dope to be there with you guys, like, We Believe in all that stuff, be a fan and be a part of that, and then kind of watch them take the next step. When they took the next step, it was still unbelievable. Like, they about to win, like, with shooters. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't.
It was never before done.
I still couldn't believe it. Like, and just watching them, like, it was unbelievable to watch what they did and still amazing. Like,
changed the game.
And it was the Warriors, too. Like, at the
your
like,
squad.
It's the Warriors. Like, they about to win a championship. Like, it was crazy, man, to watch them win 3 out of 5. And it's fun. I mean, it's awesome as a fan. Like, the dynasty ended, but I mean, I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying?
Most they can't take back what we did. You know what I'm saying?
People get mad and frustrated and all that. But bro, like, from where the Warriors came from, what y'all took it to, and what the guys excelled it to, like, you cannot be mad if you're from the Bay at watching that franchise and what they did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was good. I mean, it's fun. And I still think they one player away. You know what I'm saying? Klay come back. Steph get healthy next year. You put Draymond back in the role that he needs to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you flip D'Angelo, they still might be one player away from being right back.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that. What basketball team do you support out here?
Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Okay.
It's fun, the energy in there.
It's different. You know, getting over Brooklyn. Yeah,
you see the paper planes, you know what time it is, man. You see the paper planes,
Well, so now the team you support got KD. Got Kyrie, DeAndre Jordan, a good young team. I think I compare them to the Clippers in the West because I think they had a core of guys last year without a superstar. They really bought in.
They did.
And, you know, they made Karis the playoffs LeVert. And did, you know, they did the things. And now you add some superstars. Some come with a little baggage.
You think that hurts a guy like – what's the center with the fro?
Mm-hmm.
He was balling. Allen?
Jared Allen.
I call him like, showing up from Last Dragon.
You think it hurts his development or like Karis LeVert's development because they, you know, kind of LeVert's kind of like standing around just like spot up shooting now where he was like
a playmaker,
turning into a playmaker. Mm-hmm. He was almost turning into like an Oladipo type for me where he could, you know, get buckets and score from all over the floor. Well, and now he kind of standing around.
He's a solid six man. He's going to be a great six man scorer for them. Because with Kyrie and KD, they have enough scoring. Right. They're going to need those young, him and Dunwoody, they're going to need them to come off the bench and create some scoring and some energy off the bench for that team. And that's going to take them over the hump. You got to have guys like KD and Kyrie to finish games in the playoffs, especially in the fourth quarter. But you need these young guys to sustain it through the regular season.
But I love Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at, like, Jason Tatum and, like, what he kind of stepped back. But, like, looking at him now.
He's stunted his growth, but now he's out here acting a fool.
He is unreal.
I love Jason Tatum.
He's unguardable.
That's how he came into the league that first year, remember?
Then he took a step back, you know what I'm saying? But now he's back to where, you know, he's kind of free because he ain't got Kyrie there.
Yep.
And now he's, you know.
See, it's interesting to me because I was a role player and I knew my role. It was never an issue going places and playing. But obviously, like, when I got to play with someone like Kobe or you go to the Warriors or, you know, playing with Chris and Blake, you kind of have to find your rhythm and find your role. So I think early on, all these teams, like the players you mentioned, it's kind of still a filling out process. You know what I mean? Because you know, I mean, as a team, how important chemistry is. Mm-hmm. And it takes time to build chemistry. And when you're adding such a dynamic player such as Kyrie, and then, you know, Jared Allen, and now you're sharing minutes with DeAndre Jordan. You know what I mean? When, you know, so it's just, it's a process that takes time. And I think they'll figure it out. But the tough part is once you figure it out this year, you got to figure it out again next year when KD comes back.
Because that's a whole different dynamic.
Right. Yeah. You know, but I think they definitely have it. If chemistry and people stay healthy, you know, by the time KD's ready to be KD, they have just as good a chance to get out the East as
anybody
else to me.
Watching Kyrie up close and knowing what KD is, if KD comes back to what he is, they might be one of the best teams in the NBA, bro.
Ain't no mic to it, man. Because they got a legit center, DeAndre, so I think they can.
Yeah, I mean, and that young kid is nice. Jared Allen, is that his last name?
Yep. Jared Allen, yeah.
He's nice.
Yeah.
Like, he had a good game last night.
Dinwiddie, too. I feel like Dinwiddie's kind of like JR a little bit.
Yeah.
Where he can, like.
He's a wild card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And they're solid, man. The NBA is, you know, we're a handful of weeks in the NBA, and there's still a few questions. You know, obviously the Warriors dynasty is over. Who do you like in the West?
Man, I like the Clippers. I think they got the best team just because of from what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that Kawhi went there. Kind of opens up the NBA a little bit. You know what I'm saying? If he went to the Lakers, it would have been a wrap.
No fair.
And so I think Dame, I want to see Dame win, bro. Or I just want to see him play deep into the playoffs.
Everybody, I do too.
And just hit some big shots. So I think it would be fun, you know what I'm saying?
What do you think about the Lakers?
Obviously, they're going to be good. I think Danny Green going to be huge for them.
Huge.
I think Danny Green going to be huge.
Jack had one game we was watching that shit over at, was it the first game of the season? It was opening night, right? Over at Viola getting right watching the game, and he just didn't. He was off Danny Green for the night, but Danny Green killed him. I'm just like, bro, he's a veteran. He's been there. He's done that.
And they lost. Danny Green get 28. The Lakers not going to win. Exactly what I said.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that.
He ain't going to have to.
If Danny Green scores more than 15, then the Lakers are in trouble.
But I'm saying a proven winner, knockdown shots.
No, he's definitely a proven vet. I'll take Danny Green over a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I put a bet in for AD to win the MVP?
Well, to me, if AD wins MVP, that makes me feel like the Lakers have the best shot to advance in the playoffs, because that means AD carried them over the majority of the season and LeBron got the save. So LeBron could be LeBron in spots. I'm a Laker fan, and just thinking mentality and big picture, if you see superstar LeBron all season, they're probably going to run out of gas in the playoffs.
I feel like LeBron said all the right shit on media day, right? Like he was going to play the offense through AD, all that stuff. But the first couple weeks, we've been seeing superstar LeBron.
Man, he got first, a lot to prove, though.
That he was don't after. Average 40, 10, and 10. He not playing hard to me.
He got a lot of proof.
It's easy for him. He don't have to work.
Your views all I'm on LeBron, saying, I mean.
But all I'm saying
you,
is, so hold on.
You fuck with my views, didn't you?
I'm not mad at him.
See? So, but hold on. So, to me, the beginning, he was going through AD to see what we had, and then people started talking about he lost a step and all this shit.
But that's
and then
what I'm saying. So, like, is he going to be able to step back?
So, can you – that's that media market in L.A. You know what I mean? Can you take a step
– That is what it is. That's on him.
Can you take that step back and say, fuck what they're talking about. I'm still going to – my I have a plan here. I'm going
to
ride AD's motherfucking ass all season.
That's the only way
they're
going to
win. And then I'm going to give you my shit in the playoffs.
That's the only way they're going to win. And then everybody, like, you let them forget in the regular season. Who gives a fuck?
But it's hard. You know, yeah, I get it.
During the playoffs, if he shows up scoring 40, 10, and 10, no, ain't nobody going to say shit. If he lets AD win the MVP, lets the offense go through them, and then he shows up in the playoffs, LeBron?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to give a fuck because they going to win.
I just feel like he just that talented and that much better than everybody in the league that he can average 40 without even breaking a sweat, dog.
But he's not going to be able to do that all the way through June, though.
Yeah, but I mean,
but not all the way through June.
This is year 17.
Oh, man, I think he can, man. He make it look so easy. Maybe I just think he's better than what he is.
No, he can
hit 40. He's that good. He's that good.
But this is the same grab. I used to watch him in high school, and I'd be like, just score 50 fucking points. He's just a basketball
player.
He
did it the right way.
He won't do it. He played the right way.
Yeah.
But even in high school, I'd be like, yo, take the fucking game over.
You was in Cleveland. That's right.
I was in Cleveland. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right, so I've been watching him since he's a freshman.
Yeah. Right.
But he just plays basketball the right way. He's always going to pass to the right shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to play it the right way. So
maybe that's just me wishing I was LeBron, if I had LeBron skills.
Everybody.
And I could just go out there and average 50. You know what I mean? I average 15 by myself. If I had LeBron, I would average 50. Mm. Man, but I don't know. Maybe I.
And you'd be out there burning too, after 50.
Loaded. Loaded, sure did.
Nah, I think he got to let AD win an MVP, turn into LeBron in the playoffs, and they win.
I agree.
Because he's going to need that because Kawhi
yeah,
is
it's going to be a motherfucker.
Monster.
That's the best Kawhi's recipe. That's the
he's
best recipe.
Need that because Kawhi is a monster.
What do you think about Houston?
I don't know yet. They don't play no defense.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that
their coach don't even came spell defense.
They don't even give
who's their coach?
Dan Phoney. He can get more jobs than anybody. More opportunities than anybody.
That's every sport, though.
You got one guy like that. You got one guy like that. Like, he ain't won nothing, but he keep getting jobs, keep getting. There's some football coaches like that, too.
Yeah. Baseball, too. Yeah. They keep getting jobs. I like the fact that they close.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook and Harden.
I think that's going to help them. If they have a chance to make it work, it's because of that.
Yes, because everybody, the first game, everybody was making a big deal out of them arguing on the court, and I was like, nah, that's
homeboy
that's
shit.
That's perfect.
That's homeboy
because
shit.
Because it's game one and they already in it? Like, mm-hmm. that's like they are they
gonna
engaged.
They're going to figure it out at
they're
some
gonna
point.
They're going to figure the shit out, but mm-hmm. they just got to figure out how to play defense.
The way you play is different when you're playing with your homeboy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Way different. But
you care more. You give more. You know what I'm saying?
And you can always be like, yo, what the fuck is you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and reel it in.
Yeah.
And it ain't taking us hate either.
Yeah. Who you like in the East?
Man, I like Boston. I like
Tatum is tough, man.
I like
I've
Tatum.
Been trying to tell people. To me, he's
and I like Kemba.
So skilled.
I like Kemba and I like Tatum. I like Boston a lot, but I still like the 76ers too, Embiid, obviously.
They ain't got nothing. Boston ain't got nothing inside in the paint.
Yeah.
What they going to do there?
Yeah.
They lost
when they deal with Philly, mm-hmm. when they deal with Philly and them two big boys, it's going
to
be problems.
I like Philly. I mean, to me, it's Philly's East. I like Milwaukee. You can never overlook Milwaukee, but Philly's tough.
Yeah.
You know, Philly's real
Milwaukee's
tough.
Milwaukee's bigger than Philly, though.
Oh, no, another.
They got the two Lopez brothers now, and they got
You can't
Greg
play
Freak.
Both of them, though.
Why you can't? One,
you can't
one's
the
a shooter.
Time. You can't play them.
The one's
same
a
time.
Shooter.
One's a shooter.
Yeah, but you can't play both of them the same. If you, time.
Man, they're so slow.
And the pick, come on, man. I've been knowing the Lopez twins since like their brother played AU with me. So they used to be twins at a little AU shit, like underneath the bleachers, always getting into some shit, like stealing purses, and, like doing shit underneath the bleachers. And then all of a sudden, one day, these motherfuckers are 7 feet tall, bigger than me, going to Stanford. I'm like, yo, those are the little homies that used to be underneath the stands stealing purses.
I remember.
They're from where? They're from like South?
No, they're they're from. Our team was based out of Fresno.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure where they were from.
That's crazy.
They went to Stanford, right?
Yeah, they went to Stanford. They're definitely from Cali. Yeah. Good dudes, real good dudes. Happy out the way their career ended.
That's awesome.
Let's jump back into baseball. I mean, to me, it always seems like, and I don't think it'll happen to you because you're still doing so much stuff. You're going to be doing so much stuff. But stars in baseball kind of get lost in the mix post career because they're not as vigilant on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is your thought about that?
Nah, I mean, that's just the nature of baseball players, I think. The nature of baseball in general is to kind of be private. You know what I'm saying? You have to be humble. The game's hard to play. You know what I'm saying? If you succeed 3 out of 10 times as a hitter, you're a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to play. So in your nature, I think, as a baseball player, is to be humble and kind of reserved. So, yeah, it's no big social media presence. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even have Twitter on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, I just think that's just kind of the nature of the guys. And a lot of the guys don't even want to be.
They don't care about it.
They don't even want to be on TV or, you know, any of that stuff. So it's kind of the guys that you see in baseball that do it are the guys that want to.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that them being not as present on the social platforms hurts baseball?
Yeah, I think it definitely hurts the sport. And I think, it's a big problem. Obviously, a lot of kids not playing. We can't get, you know, a lot of viewership. It's even hard for me to watch this shit, you know, anybody in it. You know, it was just talking about Mike Trout, you know, him being out in public, you know, he would much rather you not recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or not be noticed. And he's the biggest player in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Aaron Judge, you're going to notice him. He's 6'9", 280 pounds. Even still, he still don't want to be, you know, out there like that. So I just think it's, you know, just the nature of baseball makes it hard for us to be on social media every day with, you know, being flashy.
Every day. Yeah.
The shit is hard. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to fail a lot.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about people like Mike Trout and some of these other players signing these long-term deals and then like a situation like with Bryce Harper where he decides not to take the money and go somewhere else and then, you know, his former team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. The baseball teams are making so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy the amount of money that's in the game and the amount of money that's out there for guys to make. Mm-hmm. I think it's dope. I think, you know, I would have wanted Mike Trout to make $50 million a year. I want Mookie Betts to make $60 million a year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, these guys deserve it to me. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's great that these guys are signing these huge deals. And I think it's good that these guys are signing 9-10-year deals with one team.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get back to seeing franchise players. You'll get back to seeing the Derek Jeter play with one franchise. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The you know, that one guy that played with that one franchise that their whole career.
That's lost in sports now.
That's lost in sports
completely.
Big time with free agency and the way.
But then on the flip side, it's different. You know, for being a purist and from back in the day, like, that's what we like. But then at the same time, the excitement of moving parts now as superstars is what makes the NBA are starting to rise so much.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's
so
true.
It kind of goes both ways. I mean, I just thought it was crazy that, you know, Washington loses Bryce Harper. They're the play-in wild card, and they win a championship.
Man, sometimes when you lose that one superstar, it's all, like, most of the time it's all about them. It kind of, like, it's just them and then it's y'all.
No chemistry.
So then when he left, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It was just us.
Y'all.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's just us anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it just kind of makes it better a little bit when it's that one guy is that big. You can rally around just your group. You know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of what they did.
And
they was able to free up some money, not give him $300 million.
And I saw how many people they signed with the money they were going to give him.
Yeah, and I mean, not for nothing, Bryce Harper had, you know, he's won the MVP, but ever since then, he hasn't really been what people expect him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout is what Bryce Harper gets the attention that Mike Trout should get, and Mike Trout's the player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and just an interesting perspective coming from someone that, you know, is in that space.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it just kind of is what it is, and it was cool to see them dudes. I'm friends with Scherzer, so it was good to see him, you know, kind of come back and win game 7. That was fun to see, and to see, you know, Michael Taylor, Juan Soto, all them young dudes, Howie Kendrick.
Yeah, he was clutch.
Yeah, he
all
was huge
throughout
all
playoffs.
Throughout the playoffs, man. And there's so few African Americans playing the game,
right.
So to see him kind of do his thing
was
dope. He was huge for them. It was good.
Being someone that played multiple sport, I kind of saw you brought your swag to baseball with your hat, the way you wore your hat, eventually coming out and motherfucking playing in Jordans. You know, tell me what you think about, you know, what you brought to the game.
I just tried to bring, I guess, the crest, the Leo, you know what I'm saying? Like, myself, just my authentic self, whatever, to the game. I mean, it was hard. A lot of people hated me at the
when I first came out.
You know what I'm saying? With my hat and, you know, baseball is kind of a conservative game.
He was on that Cali swag.
I was grabbing the ball with my hand, you know what I'm saying? I get the third out, I get the ball in my hand. Like, they didn't like that shit. It was a lot of shit that people didn't like about me when I first came up. So, I had to play good. I had to pitch. I had to perform to be able to do what I wanted to bring, you know what I'm saying? So, it ended up working out.
What do you mean, get the ball with your hand? What you mean by that?
So, like, if I get the third out and they throw it to the third baseman, like, I'll just grab it with my hands. It's kind of a thing I started doing in high school, and we had an old third baseman. His name was Travis Fryman. He was old school. He didn't like that shit. He hated it. So, the whole first half of the season, he would throw that shit hard. Like most of the guys, like, when I was in the minor leagues,
They'd loft it to me.
And I just, you know, grab it. He'd throw that shit hard. I'd just grab it with my hand. Fuck it. And get right back in the mail, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I had one good game against Detroit, and halfway through the game, he stopped doing that shit.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, kind of left me alone.
There's not too many African-Americans in baseball. Why do you think that is?
It's hard, man. It's one of those sports where it's expensive to play.
So at an early age with the travel ball.
It's expensive to play. You know, you need gear. I think in high school, you know, I mean, in college, you can't get a full scholarship to play baseball.
Really?
So the most you can, you know, the most they give guys is, you know, 50%, 60%. So us growing up,
no chance,
you know,
to
we
go
played football and baseball. So you play football and baseball, and you got a scholarship to go to UCLA to play football and Cal to play baseball, and it's 50% baseball, like, yeah, you gotta take the football scholarship. It's not even a, you know what I'm saying? It's not even an option coming from where we came from.
Right.
So that eliminates us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, eliminates us from college baseball right there. So that's a huge problem, I think. You know, I think baseball is one of those sports where, you know, like, my dad was taking me out, you know what I'm saying, every day. And I think, you know, this last generation, I guess, I feel like, a lot of the dads been incarcerated, you know what I'm saying? And baseball is one of the sports where your dad's got to teach you that sport. And it's been hard in the hood to have fathers around old enough to like baseball and to teach their kids that, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of different contributing factors, but it's a big-ass problem in the game.
I think basketball has stolen some of that, too.
For sure.
Just the hype of basketball.
The hype of basketball, like you said, the moving parts, the superstars moving, everybody, they're very visible. You know what I'm saying? We buying Kyrie shoes, we buying Jordan, we buying Kobe's and KD's. It's way more appealing. And basketball players are more like us. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
we can see ourselves out there on that court.
We can see ourselves out there.
We don't really see ourselves on the field.
But when I was growing up,
you saw yourself
on the field. I saw Ricky Henderson.
Come on, man. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was me. I saw myself out there.
Yeah.
Kids in the hood can't see themselves on a baseball field no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Too bad, because I loved it. Because, I mean, I played it through high school. I still play traveling softball. Like, I really loved baseball. And I put the Twins, I think I put the Twins in it too early because they excelled in football and basketball. And then they could hit baseball, but no one else could hit. So the game was too slow. So then that defense sucks.
This is terrible.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, they're 4 or 5 and they cry and we have to go to practice and don't want them. Just like, I'm not going to make my kids do anything when it comes to sports. So, you know, I kind of had to pull away and I was hurt. But I got a 11-month-old. He's going to play baseball. Sure, Ashton is gonna play baseball, and by the time he's old enough, gonna get one of these $500 million contracts.
No doubt,
it's gonna be crazy.
No doubt,
sure. Tell me about your Jordan collection. I heard it's insane.
Yeah, I got a lot of J's, man. I've been.
We need to go shopping in this closet.
I like the kick. It's like I need some Air Max, some runners. But
some
go ahead.
Runners, huh? Yeah. I've been with. I signed with Jordan in 07. So, I mean, you know.
That's the same year I signed.
Them boxes.
What?
07, 08.
When did your boxes stop coming, Jack?
My boxes.
He said stopped.
My boxes stopped coming in 14.
So, if MJ sees this right now, what would you say to MJ about your boxes?
MJ, I remember, I'm going to take you back. You gave me my deal right there on the sideline when I signed with the Bobcats. And unfortunately, somebody who's working, who's not working for your company now, took my deal. Ain't nothing but a conversation. I need them boxes back.
Need them boxes
back. I appreciate it, man. And if you don't get this message, CC gonna get it.
Hey, if you do get this, man, you watching this, please keep sending my boxes. That's all I care about. I just need them boxes, bro.
Exactly. No, they mean a lot, bro.
People don't understand. People don't understand, bro. I never got the boxes like y'all got, but growing up, not being able to afford shit to just having boxes of Jordans delivered of all shoes to your house.
I had my first pair of Jordans. I was 17 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I was 16.
Senior in high school. You know, my mom busted her ass, like, went to the mall and, like, showed up at my game. We playing Hogan Vallejo. Wow. She showed up at the game with Jordans and, like, I cried. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll never forget that. So
I wore them to school, played in the game with them, wore them to the party.
So dope.
All four, okay, in the same pair of Jordans, because I only had one pair. Did everything in one pair of Jordans.
Just versatile.
Come on, man.
Versatile as fuck.
Now I got something to give away to people that ain't, you know, like, it was a blessing. So I'm like, I need them boxes back, man. I need them, man.
But anyway, man, back to your collection.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got a lot. It's crazy. I give a lot of them away, though. I got three cousins that wear 15s.
Oh, it's perfect.
And Vallejo, so they get all the boxes.
Well, I know they stay fresh.
Yeah, but one of my little cousins, though, he lived out here for like 5 years. He just moved back. So he would get the boxes. I had to get the Jordan app to see like what shoes was dope. Cause you know, my old ass, I'm like,
out the loop.
You just take them, you know what I'm saying? This nigga was taking all the
Giving you the team Jordans.
Yeah, he giving me the team Jordans.
Keeping the retros.
He giving you the team. He's like, oh no, nothing came good today. This was good. I'm like, yo, I gotta beat you to the mailbox to get my fucking shoes.
To get your shoes.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's fun though. It's cool to be a part of it. It's fun to be a part of Brand for sure.
Yeah, that's dope. So being from the West Coast, and we definitely have a certain type of music and swag and flair, and then you're kind of a New Yorker now. You know, you've been out here for what, 10 plus years?
Yeah, 11 years.
You know, so what's your music game like right now?
Man, right now, I was just driving in right now. I was listening to the Blueprint 2.
That's what New Yorker do to you.
Yeah, it's crazy. but I still got my old Vallejo.
Forever hyphy.
Always, forever. Hypey veteran.
Man, rest in peace, Mac Dre.
So that'll always be, like, that's always, just, that's soul, just a part of me, you know what I'm saying? And then I've always been a big Hov fan. But right now, like, new music, Da Baby. I fuck with Da Baby.
Who's your top five rappers all time?
Mac Dre is number one for me for sure.
Okay.
Pop, Snoop, Hov, and Biggie.
Who's yours?
My top five?
It's your top five.
Yeah, Scarface, Pac, Jay-Z, Biggie, Bun B.
You wanna know something crazy as fuck? Bun B, nice. Scarface DM'd me the other day asking when we gonna play golf. That shit blew my fucking mind.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's family. That's family.
It's Brother Mob, right? That's his IG.
That's family.
He said, Matt, when we gonna get out there and play golf? I said, who the fuck is this?
Scarface, yeah.
The fuck?
And he's running for something.
He's a congressman right now.
Yeah, congressman.
That's dope. Shout out
Scarface. Man, Willie D.
Shout out Scarface. My top five would be Pac, Snoop, Jay, Biggie, Nipsey.
I knew it. I knew Nip was five. Yeah, I knew. Because
I get stuck. Jack knows I be getting stuck on shit. Ever since he knew me, it was all Pac.
All Pac. Oh, yeah.
And then my brother put me on Nip in like 2009, 2010, and it was all Nip.
My little cousin put me on Nip. Nip.
Pac or Nip with Matt.
But I didn't listen to Jay-Z until I got to the minor leagues.
I didn't listen to Jay-Z until college. Because we wasn't really bumping Jay on the West Coast.
We had like, I only listen to Mac Dre. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like growing up, you only listen to he from my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's what you listen to. So I didn't listen to Jay-Z until I had a roommate in the minor leagues that was a big Jay-Z fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he played one summer.
Mm-hmm.
So then I kind of got on it. Like, it was
crazy.
What was
that? Like 99? 98. See, right?
98 summer.
Same thing. I didn't start listening to Jay-Z until I was at UCLA with teammates that were from other places. You know what I mean? Like, we listened to West Coast music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
You know what's crazy? People always make fun of E-40. Now they
come on, respect. Not finally get his respect.
Not on the East Coast and shit, like, oh, what you listen to E-40? You know what I'm saying? That was like a dig back in the day. Now it's like,
the shit.
They got to respect him, you know what I'm saying?
He performed the other day at a name drop moment at Gabby Union's birthday party.
Oh, yeah, I seen him.
Short, and her little cousin, Sweetie, but 40 is a fucking legend.
40 a legend, of course. Straight up, legend, man.
Big time Warrior fan. He rocked with us the whole. He been rocking with the Warriors. So you know I fuck with 40 too.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say Sebo.
Oh, Sebo, of course.
Sebo.
See, I'm saying in Texas we had a DJ named DJ Screw. Recipe DJ Screw. And he used to slow the music down, but Sebo, Spice One, all that. And that's Brother how we learned Lynch. About Jay-Z, yeah. too, because he used to screw music from everywhere.
Yeah.
So we heard MC8, all that. He used to screw all that music.
Okay. Yeah, see, we was just on the West Coast shit. Like, when me, I was in high school, I was listening. The only outside person I was really listening to was Master P.
The only outside person I was listening to was Biggie. My fat ass always gravitated towards fat rappers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I liked Heavy D, Biggie, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You didn't say Mac Maul.
Mac Maul.
Yeah,
Mac
Maul, that's the homie.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so I was like Sebo, Brother Lynch, all the Bay Area shit, yeah. Snoop,
Spice,
you know,
One.
Dre.
Maul had a classic album. His first album was a classic.
Celly Cell.
Mm-hmm. You need to get right.
They get right.
Mac Maul, yeah.
What's your favorite restaurant out here?
Favorite restaurant? Carbone.
Carbone. We might need to hit that tonight.
That spicy rigatelli.
Man. We might need to go straight
man,
from here.
That's the spot, man.
Go back to our little spot real quick and congregate and then get the Carbone.
I think we should.
Any hobbies or anything you're looking forward to getting into now in your retired life?
I want to get better at golfing.
Once my shoulders healed up, let's do it. I'm playing.
I love fishing.
Okay.
I go fishing all over the place. I love fishing.
I just want to drive y'all caddy, watch y'all play, smoke with y'all.
I
don't want to play at all.
Shout out, Wizpack. They got the dopest.
Wizpack.
You seen it? Did you get one?
That shit is cold, right?
Man, shout out Wiz. That's the best golf bag in the game.
Yeah,
man.
Shout out Mike Evans and Jorge, bro. Yeah. They sent me the Wizpack. The Wizpack is dope. It's got a speaker on it.
Yeah,
it's a golf bag with a
speaker. I DJ for y'all.
Yeah.
I roll, DJ, whatever, but I'm cool playing.
What kind of clubs you use?
I got plus one and a half. I got, oh, that's my... from my Adidas that used to be Titleist, so I got those, but I actually need to get refitted.
I just seen Cobra just came out with a new set. I think I'm gonna try to get on that. But
how long are you gonna be down with your shoulder?
I have it on the 25th, and I think
what are they doing to your shoulder?
I think they're gonna repair the whole thing just so I can be able to throw, because you know I got the boys and the 9-year-old and be able to throw on BP,
right,
be able to throw BP to the boys at Yankee Stadium if I had to, you know what I'm saying. So they got to repair it all.
Was BP batting practice?
Yeah,
I'm just staying.
Hey, man, next time you have the celebrity game out, you got to have me and Jack come.
Nah, y'all got to come. I want to do it in the summertime next year, on the weekend.
I pulled up and just watched.
I know.
Because I happened to be in town for some other shit, and they said CCS. I was like, damn, let's go watch.
Next year, y'all got to come out, yeah.
That would tell
Even
me
if y'all, like, do the pod from there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be dope,
you know what I'm saying? Like, on the field.
I want to do a live pod. I want to play in pod.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Play in pod. Tell me about your foundation and what you and your wife do and the kind of stuff you got to do in the community.
Yes, the Pitcher Foundation. Me and Amber started in 2008. We just try to help kids in the hood through sports and education. I grew up in a Boys and Girls Club, and I try to help those type of tools. I partner up with the Boys and Girls Club here. We do field renovations. I'm actually doing two now. I'm doing one in Vallejo and I'm doing one in the Bronx right now.
What do you guys do?
Redo the whole park. Come in and make it like a big league field. When you're young, you just want to play on something nice.
Like the wiffle ball field, like the pros.
So we do that.
That's what's up.
On both coasts, we've been doing that. We do backpack giveaways here and in Vallejo.
You guys ran a marathon too, right?
My wife has a running team.
Dope.
She has a bunch of people that runs a marathon. I'm never running.
That's not your game, huh?
I can't run from here to the door. My heart rate
is 210. Yeah, him and his wife are great parents, because my daughter used to live here. His daughters and my daughter were real close, you know, when they lived there. So y'all some great parents, because your daughter's a sweet girl.
Oh, appreciate it.
Tell me how amazing fatherhood is for you.
It's been fun, man. It's been good. You know, I lost my dad in 2013. We was real close. I was 23 years old, the same year my son was born. So it's been fun to kind of like grow up and kind of turn into him. I see myself, a lot of the shit I say to my son, I'd be like, damn, I'm my dad now. You know what I'm saying? So it's fun to be a dad, man. It makes sports like easy. You know what I'm saying? Like I come home after a game, they don't care if I threw a no hitter or gave up seven runs. It's like, dad's home, time to play, you know, fuck everything else. So that kind of like, cause I'm super intense.
Right.
When it comes to like sports. So that kind of took my edge off a little bit. So it helped me out a lot.
Dope. And I've been to his daughter's birthday party before. They go all out on the party. Oh, they parties are unbelievable.
I'm sure that's Amber.
Parties and Halloween. Their parties are unbelievable. That's she's super festive. Right. I just live there, bro.
Come on,
show up. I don't be knowing shit. We had a whole We had a whole Reading renewal last year in Napa. I didn't know shit. And you brought me the tux. I was walking in like, this shit is amazing. I was just as amazed as a guest. Like, you said everything up, but I just show up, man. It's fun.
That's all right.
That's all you got to do. Happy wife, happy life. All right, man, that's a wrap. My man, CeCe. Man, we came out to your city, man. We appreciate your time. Thank you for fucking with us.
Of course, I appreciate y'all.
Always, bro. You know that. Sure. Thank you.
New York has been a blast. All the Smoke, episode 4. Find it on Showtime Basketball YouTube channel and all platforms streaming
all
podcasts. How many of them?
All of them.
Cool.
If you're heavyweight champion, you die trying.
Tony missed the knockout, Patterson, in one round.
He was a man amongst men.
He's a leg breaker for the moth.
He's a good man and he's a kind man.
Sonny Liston's America's worst nightmare.
I'm gonna fight Sonny Liston. I want that big ugly
bastard. Was one of the biggest sporting events in history.
Fix.
Nobody wanted to be associated with him. No respectable person.
He was always involved in a criminal culture, whether by choice or necessity.
There were a lot of people who had an invested interest in shutting Sonny up.
Sonny Liston's fate was sealed in the womb.
So many people wanted Sonny dead. Question is, who got to him first?